passenger.
Right there with dynamite.
You better find one. You better find a dark passenger. I'm looking for that DP.
That DP.
I'm trying to get that content on both ends. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I love about content. It goes in both ends.
Yeah.
I'm Bill Clinton and McConaughey. I'm former president Matthew McConaughey. And I love getting DP.
I did not have sexual relations with that content. You had me confused. I was dazed and confused. I was the hot one. Hold on, let me pull a glass of water out from between my abs where I store it like a cup holder.
People think I was in the movie Primary Colors. But I wasn't.
The only color I see is green. Because I'm the goddamn former president. Surprise! It was me. All along, it was Tricky Bill. Doing another one of
Tricky
my
Bill.
Signature tricks. Wow. Oh, I can't wait to tell everyone at the saxophone meetup about this one.
We call it Sax Addicts Anonymous. I'm a saxaholic. I'm losing the voice a little bit. I'm a saxaholic.
Sometimes I just wait under the bridge until I could get my next blow.
Wow.
Wow. Well, let's get into the show.
Yeah, we're all warmed
we?
Up now.
Yokoso Irashaimase! And welcome to another Ballin' Out
Gundam
Times! Ready?
Go!
Another week.
And that is our contractually obligated intro. And now back to former President Matthew McConaughey.
You may be not.
All right, all
this
right,
is such
all
a confusing
right.
idea.
I don't know what's confusing about it. He's
Am
Bill Clinton, but he's Matthew McConaughey as well.
Bill Clinton doing another one of his tricks. Today we have a special guest with us.
It'd be funny if we just never announced it. We just keep doing former President Matthew McConaughey.
For full 75 full minutes.
Yeah, we go over.
That's when Domon comes out of the burning Gundam. He's surprised to see his opponent. Much like I was surprised by Bob Hope in 1992. Bob Dole. Oh, it's been a while.
Oh, senior moment.
I don't know where Bob Hope ends and Bob Dole begins.
You get older, your brain stays the same age. I don't know if that makes sense.
David,
really losing
do you
the voice
do
now.
The Bill voice? Do you want to do the Bill voice with us?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Would you like to do the Bill voice?
I can't actually do the voice.
Mm.
Do you have us your best shot, Buckaroo?
You know what I like about our Constitution? I keep getting older, but it stays the same.
All right.
Yeah.
This is an interesting twist on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a Jewish guy.
He's a very Jewish Bill Clinton.
That's what I do. I make McConaughey Jewish, and I do Jewish Clinton, too. I do Jewish Bernie back. I ain't afraid of you, motherfuckers.
I pull my shit out, the whole room goes dark.
Yeah. You don't understand.
This
coupon's only a week expired.
Hit it. Man, I feel like we walk right back into Bernie Mac on a weekly basis now.
It's how iconic
this
of
this is more of a Bernie Mac podcast than it is a Gundam podcast.
It's an iconic role, and you gotta respect that.
We respect it. Don't we, fellas?
Bernie Mac himself was an iconic role.
Bernie Mac doing his own stand-up. Yeah. Iconic role.
This
anyway,
is unrelated.
Yeah,
this
David
Spector
is here. I don't know if we said that.
Yeah, David Spector.
Hey, what up? Good to be back.
In case you were wondering which David it was.
Which in our pantheon of Davids.
Hmm.
Oh, you know what I saw for the first time last week? And this is not really related to Bernie Mac, but is like a different 90s black thing. I saw Friday.
Oh, yeah?
For the first time.
You'd never seen it before?
I'd never seen it before. I feel like it was kept from me.
Hmm.
Because there's too many ways I'd fall in love.
I like to imagine that Alex watched Friday because he was doing, like, the, you know, the honor black creators thing that, like, Amazon. Uh-huh.
Yeah, after Chadwick Boseman died, he's like, I need to honor black creators.
Well, you know how Chadwick Boseman did all of those roles while he had colon cancer for 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with Chris Tucker, but for, like, aspiring to do pedophilia for 5 years.
Who knew during Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2, man? You thought like you thought you had the guy figured out, eyes on the same, you know, level.
Do you see the girls coming out?
People are
of
like people are crying. Like, if Chris Tucker only told me what was going on. I
his
had no
last
idea how
tweet
brave he was.
Said to support Kamala. You have to support Kamala. Chris Tucker wants you to.
Imagine him trying to explain to Jackie Chan that he's a pedophile, and it's that same exact scene as in Rush Hour where Jackie Chan just doesn't get it, and he's eventually like, I want to fuck kids! Can you hear the words coming out of my mouth? I love to fuck kids!
That's all I gotta say! Man, he's amazing. His performance in Friday is at a level where it's like, I want to hold against you the crimes you've committed, but you are the only thing keeping this movie watchable. Just holding it up with your entire body, your whole face in every shot, just going bananas. There was, like, I don't know if, like, there was, like, a director on that who was like, yeah, we just want you to do, like, 120% on every shot in this movie. Or Chris Tucker was like, this movie sucks. I gotta save it. Gotta save the movie. Ice Cube cannot act at all. Man. Gotta save this film.
I just watched The King of Staten Island.
You did. Isn't that like $30?
No, I downloaded it illegally.
Ooh, you're bad.
I'm bad.
Don't tell Davidson,
Pete
a good
Davidson.
Friend. Good
don't,
friend of
don't
ours.
Don't tell a friend of the show, Judd Apatow.
friend of the show, Bill Burr.
Dude, Bill Burr is so good in it, and he is that's what made me think of it, is that, like, Bill Burr is, like, holding that movie up on his, like, little bald head. He is the only thing keeping it going.
Is he a main character? I thought for sure he would just be, like, a walk-on.
No, he's the main character, him and Pete Davidson.
So you're saying Bill Burr was the
Chris Tucker.
The Chris Tucker of
King
of Staten
Island.
Yeah, He's the Chris Tucker of the movie.
Imagine Bill Burr in The Fifth Element. Everything's the same, but it's Bill Burr.
Corbin Dallas.
I can't believe this chick. She's got four breasts. Imagine it. I'm looking at it. I don't know what to think. I'm used to two breasts. With four, I only got two hands. I'm supposed to put my feet on those?
It's brutal.
Come on. It's brutal.
That's the
absolutely
way in.
Brutal.
That's how you get into the accent. Oh, it's brutal.
Well, the fun thing about Bill Burr is if you're from Boston, you don't even have to do a voice.
You have to, like, maybe add a little breath behind it, and that's really it.
Just pretend you're at a Dunkin' Donuts, and it comes. It arrives upon you. What a talent.
What a talent. What other Chris Tucker roles could we put him in? In Rush Hour? What does he say in Rush
He's
Hour?
He's not in that many movies.
I know. He had a very short career for how in with Hollywood pedophiles he is.
Is like, he is on the Epstein plane, and he's in like four movies.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
Have you ever seen Chris Tucker's Def Jam set?
No.
It sucks. It's real bad. It's like a classic case of like LA comedian guy who's like, I have no material, but my face is crazy.
What? He was a stand-up before he was an actor?
Yeah.
I think it was just like an early 90s thing. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, the way an actor fills out their resume now, do some stand-up. Chris Tucker was like filling out his resume doing some stand-up, I assume, because it seemed like he'd never attempted to think of a joke before this like big huge arena I saw him in.
Holy shit, it's a really short list of movies he's in.
What's he tried to come back to stand-up, and I remember he was doing the talk show circuit and he was trying to tell jokes about his close friendship with Michael Jackson, but he talked about Michael Jackson if he had never been accused of pedophilia.
You don't want to open that door.
Dude, this is so funny.
I want to hear from this from David first, and then we'll go to the list.
All right.
He'd just be like, you go to Michael Jackson's house, and he's got, like, a whole movie theater there. He's so crazy. He's got, like, a bathroom attendant in his bathrooms. That's the crazy, and he just never gets to the pedophilia ever.
You know what the craziest thing about Michael Jackson is? He has a Ferris wheel at his house.
You wouldn't believe this thing I found out about Michael Jackson. He loves s'mores.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. He would just make fun of his like clothing. He'd be like, I'd get there and Michael Jackson would be wearing one white glove and one black glove. Isn't that nuts? And meanwhile, like, they were there fucking kids.
Yeah, are there any roles
you're like,
you
like
won't
that Michael
follow?
Jackson is some strange behavior. Speaking of strange behavior, did you know this guy had a monkey? He just keeps like winding him up, and you just keep being like, he's gonna say he fucked kids. And it just never comes.
Come on. He brought you on here for the scoop.
You wouldn't believe the uncouth thing that Michael Jackson had a taste for.
Michael is innocent. Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth?
Okay. So his page on Wikipedia, we have like, he's in House Party 3, he's in Friday, he's in Dead Presidents, did not remember him in Dead Presidents.
Is he in Friday 2? I've heard Friday 2 is better than Friday 1. Is
next
that true?
Friday, yeah. Uh-huh.
Next Friday.
Next Friday, yeah. He's in Jackie Brown, which I did not realize.
I just watched Jackie Brown.
Totally forgot about that.
He is murdered.
Fifth Element, Rush Hour 2, Rush Hour 3. Okay, so that's like, you know, that's the movies. Now here's the television.
Okay, well this is where the action is.
This is where the action is. He's in 1992, he's in an episode of Hanging with Mr. Cooper, and he's on Def Comedy Jam. You know, we skip forward a little bit, he's in the Michael Jackson 30th anniversary celebration.
Did nothing wrong.
In 2001.
An innocent man.
In 2001.
And then next year he was in the Celebrity All-Star Salute to Alan Dershowitz.
Wait, because David, you're going to love this. In 2020, Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich.
No!
That's honestly...
Man, that sucks.
That's a credited role.
I don't think he put that on there. I don't think an agent put that on there. I think an enemy of his updated his IMDb.
Just fantastic stuff.
That's like the guy who used to own Bunga's Den. He was the whole building. He was a registered sex offender.
What?
Which one was Bunga's Den?
It was the bar on 14th.
Oh, and now it's that weird like beer pong bar.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So the guy who owned that building, he or his business partner who managed the building mm-hmm. was a registered sex offender. But his enemies always put that as the first line of his Wikipedia because he used an ex-New York Post gossip columnist.
Known for his famous headline, headless dancer found in topless bar and also fucking a child.
How about Bunga's Bunga's Den, owned by Silvio Berlusconi?
Okay. All right.
So there's something for our European listeners. Welcome. Thank you for supporting the show.
Yeah.
It's not all about America here. We're a podcast of the world.
Where are we on time?
We have done 15 minutes.
Beautiful. How about a dark passenger, huh?
I would love to get a DP.
The dark passenger.
Beep beep, all aboard.
Most of them are childless single men who masturbate to anime.
I can't do the voice now. There it is. There's the voice. I would love to get DP'd by Jared Trueheart and one angry gamer.
Women are the worst thing that's happened to this country. Read my lips. They made Castlevania gay.
All right. So this week, we're back to legendsofmen.com. It's been a while. I mean, we did it last week, but then before that, I feel like people in the Discord were like, holy shit, this guy's crazy on Legend of Men. Go back. We used to read him all the time, and he's way wilder than last week's thing. But this week, David, you've been here for one of these before, I believe.
I think I've done at least one, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, because we first found out his name, Jared Trueheart, and you called him Oren Pony Sprinkle.
That was a long time ago.
Long ass time ago.
That was the balls episode.
I think so, yeah. A long, long time ago.
What
anyway.
A big day in all of our lives.
So this is an article that Jared wrote for his patrons, and he unlocked it.
Who are this guy's patrons? Who is paying
there are
for
not
this?
Many.
There's not many. There's like five or six.
I suspect a few of them are listeners to our show, and we
yeah.
do not support,
we do
that
not
kind of
support
behavior.
This.
Please do not give this man any money, even as a joke.
But this is so. This
I,
is the,
just message me. I will tell you hateful things for free if you need your fix. I'll do it. Just don't give this guy any cash.
So this is the opening, just kind of like log line before the article is, this is one of the first articles that I published exclusively for my Patreon supporters. A great colleague and supporter, King Emperor Penguin, suggested that I publish this to a larger audience. He believes, as do I, that men need this message. With that in mind, I'm publishing it now while encouraging you to become a Patreon supporter, blah, blah, blah. Title of article, Why Nerds Idolize Anime Heroines and How They Can Free Their Minds.
Men need this. It's been too long. When you look at the fall of the Rust Belt, men have forgotten to idolize anime heroines.
All right. It has become common to see female action heroes kicking ass in comic book movies and in
That's
the occasional
right.
conventional action film. The ludicrous idealization of women is never more obvious than when guys enjoy watching women physically dominate men twice their size in unarmed combat.
Okay, so right now, already we have a window into this guy's psyche he didn't intend at all. Like, immediately we know he likes to watch this, and he's uncomfortable with his own feelings about it.
He likes the idea
is that
of being
femdom
dominated.
In the window?
Yes.
As apathetic as it is to see grown men encourage this in a Hollywood blockbuster, it's never been more pathetic than when it occurs among anime nerds.
That's true. That
I'm not familiar enough with anime to list a bunch of action heroines who kick guys' asses. Instead, here's a video of anime nerds swooning over action heroines.
Instead, here's a video of a woman kicking me in the balls till I come. I watch every day so I can feel normal.
By the way, I just want to point out that the reason why we even know who Jarrett Trueheart is, the only reason we ever found him, was because he wrote four different articles about why Dragon Ball Z is good for men. Trying to play this off like, I don't know that much about anime.
I don't even
know who this is.
I love the man out there who King Emperor Penguin is setting him straight.
Anime is notorious for its action heroines. Nerds and fans love seeing female characters dominate men in combat. This is one reason why I state that anime is antithetical to masculinity, except
what?
For certain special cases.
Masculinity is about dominating women in combat.
That's an outrageous claim to make from this man, the Dragon Ball Z inspiration man. Shame on him.
So this is under the title Otaku Culture. Anime is a distinctly Japanese art form. As such, there are aspects of Japanese culture that lead anime creators to create female characters that are simultaneously sexy, innocent, and better warriors than most men. I love that he's like, you know, anime is bad for men and you know, they should stop idolizing anime characters. But I also find the women sexy.
Unless you're Japanese, and then I see your culture's different, and I respect that.
This whole article is, when I see cartoon girl beat up cartoon guy, that makes me feel bad.
It makes me hard, but in a bad way.
Yes, exactly.
You know when you like have an argument in your head with a friend or somebody on the street, and you're mm-hmm. like fighting with them, and like you're proving them wrong and stuff?
Yeah.
Jared's version of that is just like finding women and them beating him up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is like the played out discussion he has to resolve online.
Okay, the first uniquely Japanese reason.
I hope all you guys subscribing to this felt you got your money's worth from this article. I hope it was worth the $5 a month.
This is like his version of like when we put teasers up of like the good joke from an episode. This was the good article that he was like, yeah, Jared.
We can't keep this behind a bushel.
This is gonna
people have to know.
I would
men
love it.
Need this.
This guy should he should have like a podcast where it's just like every week it's like, all right, here's the top five cartoons bimbifying me this week.
All right. I must continue. The first uniquely Japanese reason these characters are popular is that the Japanese equate emotional intensity to physical strength in their stories. The stronger a person's emotions, the stronger their muscles become. This is true of both male and female characters. With that in mind, it's plausible to anime viewers that a female could dominate a male if her emotions are strong enough.
I did not see this taking the race angle, this article. I'm surprised. The list is starting in a surprising way for me.
If you'll notice, the average width of the Japanese skull is...
It's full of emotion.
The biggest reason that these characters are created is because of the otaku community in Japan. Otaku is a derogatory term for Japanese males who are antisocial, shut-in, weak, and who consume too much anime. They idolize female characters as much as anyone can because they're so antisocial. Much of their disposable income goes to buying anime products.
Okay.
Otaku... They're so antisocial, they like women.
Otaku idolize beautiful women to superhuman status. This stems from their inability to speak to beautiful women in social settings. They have no understanding of how women compare to or relate to men for this reason. They only know of women through anime, so their faulty ideas of women are reinforced by the anime they watch. To
so
them,
he thinks that anime fans are like, oh, I would go and talk to a woman, but what if she throws me into the sun?
Well, what if my nose bleeds uncontrollably? To them, it seems possible that a woman could be strong enough to beat a man because they're very weak enough to be beaten by women. What the fuck kind of sentence is that?
They're, the editor on Legends of Men is on
really
vacation.
Slipping.
It's
this
the
is
end
the
of the
paid
summer.
One. This is the one that you paid for. While all of this is true, these antisocial shut-ins want to masturbate while they watch anime. Creators and production studios understand this. Thus, the anime heroines not only dominate men physically in unarmed combat, but they also give their bodies to men sexually.
When? When does that happen in any show? It's always a man about to have sex, but then he's hit with a frying pan.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually in my experience.
Or like somebody opens the door and they have to like hide under the hot tub water.
Oh, worst case, 100 demons have sex with a woman. It's never the way you're describing it.
Okay, so this is under the title Western Watchers. Here we go. Finally. Finally, somebody's going to talk about the West.
One question here. Where's my Western Watchers in the chat?
Where are my Western Ooh-hoo! Watchers at?
I'm on Western Watchers, and it's really helped me lose weight. I get beaten up. I get dominated by one anime girl a day, and it helps. Really yeah. knock the pounds off.
You have to monitor your logic on the Western Watcher diet.
All right. Men have this silly fantasy that a strong, disobedient, rebellious, sexy, independent woman can be tamed and submit to a man if he is strong or charismatic or good enough. Somehow, men then take that one step further to mean that strong, independent, rebellious women are more desirable than weaker, more obedient women.
Fellas, you ever notice how we desire strong and disloyal women only to dominate them to our... You know how we do. It's
Listen,
what we all want, fellas.
We need
if
to do better.
If there's any women out there who are considering making the highly... And I understand it's a highly, highly desirable decision to submit to Jared Trueheart. I say, no, don't do it. Don't be
don't
weak
do
and submit to Jared
Trueheart.
It's
what
Trueheart.
He wants.
Hold out. Hold out for King Penguin Emperor. Value yourself.
His important colleague. Shit, where did I... the rationale for this is centered around ego boosting. If a woman will only submit to a man much stronger than her, and that woman passes up one man for another man, then the man who has her submission has demonstrated his strength over the other man.
We call this the man-man shuffle,
fellas. Fellas, you ever find that every time you have sex with a woman, you think about a man? You ever notice how having sex with a woman is always about a man? In reality, relationships do not work this way. Wow, what? Independent women do not submit to men much stronger than them. Nearly all men are much stronger than them. Independent women typically do not submit to the will of their romantic interests, even when there is love or attraction. This is a personality flaw that they have, and it's why men have come to understand that these women are not desirable.
This guy, so he heard like one Dolly Parton song on the radio and stabbed himself in the eyes.
Yeah. I'll show you who's working 9 to 5, you bitch.
It's like Oedipus, but now.
Guys who idolize action heroines haven't gotten that message yet. The fantasy presented by anime action heroines is that the watcher imagines himself in the role of the male protagonist. One day, after so many seasons of the show, they will be strong enough to tame the voluptuous vixen who kills men at will. The watcher imagines himself taming such a woman. What men are learning in the manosphere and beyond is that independent, ambitious, rebellious women are not worth the work it would take to tame them, even if they are sexy. Those traits are simply not attractive. Furthermore, those traits are good indicators that a woman will not make a good mother or wife and are too much work for a sexual liaison.
I actually love this guy because, like, it's very clear... Obviously, that he's not getting laid at all, but he's managed to like work it out where it's like it wouldn't even be worth my time to try to fuck these rebellious women after I went anime. Did no way. I'm not even gonna try. What a fucking I love. That.
I will have you know, David, that Jared Trueheart is married with two children.
No.
He is, yeah, to a mail order bride, clearly.
Each more masculine than the last.
She has two daughters. How fucking funny is that?
Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
Oh, I mean, I feel very bad for them because it's probably a very bad situation for them, but I do really appreciate the fact
could you imagine
wouldn't give him a son.
Could you imagine meeting your like high school girlfriend's dad and you come over and he's just
smoking a cigar?
He's in the full Ernest Hemingway poaching outfit, chomping on a Cuban.
But he's like, he's just in like, his gaming
Alex,
chair.
Alex, have you considered Dragon Ball Z? You're like, yes, I have, sir.
I would like to know how you plan to be dominated by my daughter.
So you've come here to be dominated by my daughter, have you? Well, I've tamed her long ago. No man shall.
All right. Finishing this one up, under the title Broken Home Syndrome, I have to think that the anime nerds who idolize action heroines were raised in single mother homes.
You have to think that.
You have to think it.
It's one of the things
we've all been thinking it the whole time. I'm glad he said it.
He just puts every single thing that upsets him that he doesn't know why into this like web of connections that they're all causing each other, where it's like he got a boner watching anime and the girl was beating up a guy and he's like, this must be because of the decline of the family structure.
This has something to do with the West.
I know Jimmy Carter is behind this. Just you wait.
All right. When males grow up in these homes, they don't learn how to navigate sexual relationships. That's because they can't watch their fathers attract their mothers with their masculine competency. As these guys get older, they seek sexual relationships. I can't stop thinking about it.
It's funny
you're
because it's true.
Your dad, and you're like, damn, my dad is a pussy hound.
Do not care for that.
All right, as these guys
get
older,
he's making his daughters watch him challenge his wife to a push-up contest and then fuck her
to prove his masculine worth. As these guys get older, they seek sexual relationships in which they please their girlfriends the same way they would please their mothers, by being the nice guy and waiting.
Wait,
on
what?
Them. It's the only way they know how to earn the affection of a woman.
This article is all over the goddamn place. I don't remember how we got here.
Thus, when a male wants the woman to be the strong one in the relationship, it's not that they want to sexually attract a female peer. Rather, they want to gain the approval of a mother figure in the form of a female peer. The sexy appearance is the most confusing part. So they want a sexual partner who will treat them like a mother treats her son, but also has sex with them. They haven't fully matured. They're not independent either financially, psychologically, or emotionally. When they finally do mature, they break out of this love of strong women.
There are always parts of one of these where it's like, maybe you're just not attracted to women? Is that a thing that could be happening?
You just like not understand.
Like, he keeps talking about antisocial loners as if that's the only way you could like a woman. Is if you
pick them off when they're weak, isolated.
All right, last bit. The prescription for men who idolize anime heroines. Shit, hang on, I clicked
what
off the
is
page.
It? What is it?
It's opiates.
These men will naturally overcome their mistaken beliefs about strong, independent women when they do a few things. Number one, get physically strong, lift weights, learn to box, etc. Two, become financially independent. Three, improve their social skills, get offline, and make friends outside of the anime community. And four, forgive their mothers for raising them without their biological father.
All right, we're we're back. That was so funny. We lost David.
Yeah.
Oh my god, sorry guys. I don't know
what
happened.
That's so funny. Yeah, so he's just like completely just convinced there's no such thing as an anime fan with both parents at all. All right. When anime nerds complete these steps, they will be free from the pathological mindsets that have corrupted their beliefs for so long. Sex
and
roles.
They will have 5 subscribers on Patreon.
Sex roles can then be better understood. Women will not seem like a separate species most of the time, and will appear as approachable. Most of all, they won't put women on a pedestal. It's not an easy solution, but fixing one's worldview and belief systems is never easy.
Man, huge business failure not putting a subscription to his Patreon on the 3 steps to overcoming anime women.
Yeah.
Seems like a layup to me. I don't know.
Oh, my
Maybe
God.
Maybe that's just the salesman. The tricky Bill in me.
Okay,
complete these steps and you will see women for the garbage that they are.
You can overcome anime women. When you stop putting a pussy on a pedestal.
Former President Matthew McConaughey, what are you doing back?
For some, the Gulf War is overcoming your mother's overbearing influence.
By the way, if anybody is curious, currently on Jared Trueheart's Patreon page, his goal is, when Legends of Men has 15 supporters, I will begin producing an e-course designed to teach men how to recognize anti-masculine propaganda in
supporters?
Movies and stories. That's a lot of work for 15 supporters. By the way, he is 84% to that goal.
Oh, man. Well, this is, again, another test to get us to support him. And, again, we cannot do it. Do not support Jared, even if he will teach you in a course how to be masculine, which would probably be the funniest thing you've ever paid money for.
I could see actual politicians, like, falling for that scam. Like, 10 years from now, we're going to hear Joe Kennedy III was like, yeah, this guy Jared Trueheart
taught me to be masculine.
Do not ask what your country can do for you. Ask what women can do to leave you alone.
We enjoy anime not because it is easy, but
because I am hard.
And right, I know we've done this one before, but ich bin ein Weeaboo. That's always
fun. We are extremely behind. We're at like 37. So
damn.
Let's start the Gundam party.
Good thing
party,
not a lot
we?
Happened in this Gundam.
Damn. I took a ton of notes anyway. Is everybody ready for the Gundam?
Mm. Yes.
David.
I'm ready.
All right. Let's go! Running away, Saisaichi in love. This episode starts, as all good episodes do, with the announcer in his red velour suit sitting on a stool with an eye patch, and he gets straight to the point this time. He says, Saisaichi hasn't been in the show for a while. What if
wonder
he
what
fell
he's
in love?
Up to?
What if he fought a mermaid? Wouldn't that be fucking nuts? That's
pretty
the episode.
Crazy. That's what's going to happen, though.
I'm not here to trick you this time, just that's what's going to happen.
Playing this one real close to the vest.
Play that song. And they play the song. Again, I just love the new song. I know I am not downloading it and putting it in the podcast, but look, check it out.
What does it end with?
I trust you forever.
I trust you forever. Beow, 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 beow. Yeah.
Beow, 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 beow. I love the insistence in Japanese anime to like never actually sing about what the show is about.
They throw in 3 English words that do not combine together.
It's also so funny that they're singing like a love song to this giant like
the
robot.
Giant robot, yeah.
I trust you forever. Hey, say what you will about Burning Gundam, but it's got a lot of curves. All right. I'm the 42nd president. I think.
No.
Yeah.
No, 43rd.
Damn it!
Right, Trump's 45.
Yeah.
We know that because everybody calls him that.
That makes him 43. That's George Bush Sr. Erasure. And that's not what this show is about.
George Bush Jr. Erasure.
42? Would be George Bush Sr.
Yeah, Clinton is 42.
No.
What is this, a draw?
You're right.
I was right the entire time, you say?
Yeah. Yeah, welcome back to our math podcast where
hey
we
guys,
all try to do basic
math. Here.
I hate that this is on a recording. I hate it.
It's me, the 43rd president. Matthew McConaughey.
And I love it in both math. Hands. Special programs you can take after school to get hooked on phonics. All right, count
is hard, guys.
I only know two numbers. That's me and you, baby. Let's get together. What are we talking about? Okay, yeah, Sai Saichi's gonna fight this episode, so look out. We start at the Gundam Arena in Hong Kong, in Neo Hong Kong. And he's there with his bunks, who are his foster parents, because he was raised without a father. And that's why he's attracted to anime women.
He loves anime girls. That's evidence in this episode.
And he's at that age, too, where he can't get enough of them. Mm. And, by the way, very cool episode for Sai Saichi. He has some fucking looks.
Yeah.
He's got pointy glasses on the side like he's Jack Nicholson. He's got bright pink shirts.
Yeah, dude. And what is he, my father? What with him being a pussy hound?
I cannot deal with it.
Watching Sai Saichi dominate his love interest in this episode helped me learn how to attract women.
Yeah, you have to cook at a restaurant owned by an old man who suddenly leaves.
Anime fans have never cooked at a restaurant because they grew up in single family households.
I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll be there in a minute. So Sai Saichi's watching a Gundam fight, and his step parents are like, Sai Saichi, watch the fight. And he's like, I don't give a fuck about that. I'm horny. And we watch the fight, and guess who it is? It's Toro Gundam from Neo Spain fighting Neo Denmark's Mermaid Gundam.
Yeah. So this is one of those times where, like, I feel like coming into this, I was so familiar with all these Gundams because the designs are all just, like, batshit bananas. Hmm. And you just see these pictures all your life, and you're like, man, that's got to be a fucking wild show.
Oh, once I get my hands on a Toro Gundam.
Well, but
ooh,
I always assumed that a lot of them were just, like, seen in the background, you know? When you see, like, the Toro Gundam, for example, you're like, I'm never going to see it in motion, right?
With its trademark red flash swirl.
There's no way they're ever going to show that thing
laser
actually move.
And it summons as if to attract the enemy?
Unbelievable. Wow. It didn't do anything. What was the point of the laser cape?
Let's just to catch up the viewer here, this is what you need to picture, and that is a Gundam coming out of a bull's head fighting a Gundam coming out of a fish's head.
Yeah, you know how it looks like, in like Great Depression era cartoons when somebody loses their house and everything and they're wearing a barrel instead of clothes? It's like that, but it's a bull's head.
It's so funny, like, going back and watching this, because all of my memories of Gundam from when I watched it as a kid is like, this is the most badass serious show, and then you watch like the Mermaid Gundam, and it's like, oh, up next it's the Clown Gundam. It kills you by farting, and it's just like, it just does not take itself seriously at all.
No.
Well, it actually is very serious because Toro Gundam uses his red flash swirl to throw a cape towards Mermaid Gundam, who counters by jumping in the air and throwing a net on the Toro Gundam.
This is the best because they're like he's doing his signature red cape thing, and like nobody's ever found a way around it. Is he gonna find a way around it? He did, and it says he jumped up.
He's only fought bulls before. who can't avoid the cape.
And also, yeah, that's why they designed him.
Just that they call it Red Flash Swirl. Like, that's, it's his signature move. Three things I noticed after I got had a concussion. Like,
it sounds like a...
Cut that out.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right,
Alex,
right.
Can we have President McConaughey announce we're going to war in Iran?
Yeah, we can. Apropos of nothing.
Definitely not apropos of a joke, Alex. Just don't.
Hickory dickory dock. It's time to go to war in Iraq.
Did I say Iraq?
Oh, shit, did I say Afghanistan?
I meant Iran.
I'm going off that gas in the Oval Office.
I'm on that drink. Sipping that Cody.
I don't care if you're black, white, red, or purple drink. You're going in my tummy.
I'm gone off that dirty Sprite. It's so fun to think about.
It's all been leading up to this.
Bill Clinton,
our greatest creation.
Cum syrup.
Vague Bill Clinton. SNL, eat your heart out.
I'm fucked on that purple herbal.
I have to recap G Gundam. We only have so much time.
That's the thing I love about cough syrup. I get older. It keeps getting me fucked up. All right. He passes out.
Well, Alyssa, it makes more sense in the chat.
It doesn't.
You can't hear the whole chat. It's really clever.
It's really clever. It's Bill Clinton and also Matthew McConaughey.
It's also Matthew McConaughey. That's part of it.
And you put in some Andrew Dice Clay in there, too.
Yeah. Hickory dickory dock.
The hounds all get one voice.
He said, "What's in the bowl, bitch?"
This is getting out of hand. This is getting out of hand. Let's talk about Sai Saichi, the Chinese Gundam fighter.
Okay.
Can he save the Shaolin Temple with his Gundam combat? Well, Domo is watching the fight, our friend from Neo Japan. And he's there with his side piece, Rain, who is also a doctor and an engineer.
His main piece is the Gundam.
Which is kind of a cucked relationship for her, if you think about it. But anyway, I digress. So she's watching the Mermaid Gundam and is like, "Mermaid Gundam is probably the best Gundam I've ever seen." And Domon's like, "That's funny you say that, because it's actually shit.
It's broken.
This Gundam
fucking sucks. You
fucking
idiot, don't you fix Gundams?"
I'm sorry, I thought you were a Gundam doctor. This thing's about to fucking lose its wheels.
It's funny they didn't even bother to like draw the thing looking ragged or anything. It's just like Domon has a magic power where he just can look at it and be like, "That's a fucked up Gundam, you idiot."
Real heads know. Yeah, well, it's never in the plot.
I think he noticed that there's this giant weapon of war that they gave a mermaid theme to and was like, "This cannot work.
Come on. I don't like that."
Yeah, what he's really saying, he's not saying that it's like broken and going to need repair. He's saying like, "The kids aren't going to like this for more than an episode."
This was our last idea to fill a quota.
Also, the idea of having, like, a tournament like this in that world is insane. Because, like, every Gundam must cost, like, hundreds of millions of dollars. And then you're just going to have, like, a little scrimmage with it. It would be like if we took the USS Intrepid to just, like, fight another U.S. aircraft carrier and destroy it in the process.
Right, but you could do that if the entire military budget was the one Gundam, which is the premise of the show for some reason. They don't explain it, so we don't have to really flesh it out. It's
they
fine.
Never really explain. Is it like? Is it more like a Formula One, or is it more like a?
It's a NASCAR,
or is it a NASCAR where like? So, like, you know, can you spend as much as you want on the Gundam? Is there, like, a cap that you can spend on it? Is there, like, a cap on stats that you can have for your Gundam?
There doesn't appear to be any rules except for, like, inane shit. Like, you have to say ready, go before the fight starts.
Give me a mermaid robot. Money is no object.
I don't care how much it costs. I want it to be a fish. That's what I think a mermaid is. Has a fish's head and a fish's body. You know, a mermaid. So, Sai Saichi, they're like going to ask him if he's ready to fight Mermaid Gundam, but they turn around, and wouldn't you know it, he's just run off into the streets of Neo Hong Kong, and he's eating big, mysterious white balls out of a truck.
Oh, yeah, he's loving it, too.
He's enjoying the Neo Hong Kong street food. He's doing it. He's on his Anthony Bourdain shit.
The famed Neo Hong Kong mysterious white balls.
No reservations with Sai Saichi. Bam, ba, bam, ba, ba. Yummy, bro! So he sees some street thugs that you're going to run into in when you're in Hong Kong, and they are making an old man eat a caterpillar.
Yeah, and there's a weird thing that they do in this episode that they never do otherwise. It has kind of a similar vibe to the one where we meet the Neo-French butler, where you're just like, this is like a slapstick style that they otherwise do not do on this show. And this one, when we see the caterpillar, it's got like a little like person face, and like it says something.
Yeah,
like
they it's like,
zoom into
it,
he's like,
ah,
jeez, again?
Oh, I hope I don't go in that old-ass mouth, says the caterpillar.
It must be like that must be like a character from something else or something. That feels
yeah,
like
maybe
the
we're supposed
thing
to
like a reference.
Be starstruck by the caterpillar. Yeah. But a little girl spots the gangsters and she goes, "Hey, I saw that you put that caterpillar in your bowl and it wasn't in your food, and you're just making this old man eat this caterpillar for no reason and not out of righteous vengeance." And they go,
that was
"What
the
did
original
you say, little lady?" And they hold their face in that way. You shouldn't touch a lady's face.
Not many people know this, but before Yelp, that's what you had to do to register that you got bad service. You had to force the cook to eat bugs.
Take the owner and just get some chopsticks and ram them in there. That's what how Fear Factor started. They just caught Joe. I want to say DeRosa, but that's not it.
Rogan, Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Joe DeRogan.
Making people eat bugs. Leave it in. Leave it in unfinished.
But this is one of those times where, like, you understand why they can't give any characters, like, a fun accent, even though you'd like to. Because otherwise, like, this entire episode just doesn't work. Because, no. Like, Sai Saichi would be out, and he'd meet this woman, and he'd be like, "Whoa, like, what's going on? You're cute." And she'd be like, "Oh, thank you." And he'd be like, "Wait, are you from, like, Neo Denmark or something?" And he'd be like, "Oh, yeah." And that's it for the whole ruse.
I love the idea of Neo Denmark, like, implying that Denmark was wiped out somehow, so they built this cool, futuristic cyber Denmark.
It's all Neo whatever. But yeah, it's like the places that they choose to have Neos of is very funny. Like, why is there a Neo Denmark?
Oh, no.
But there's not a, like, a Sweden or...
Neo Hong Kong? That's a city. That
there
gets
is a Norway.
I'm doing Molly at a club in Neo Tel Aviv right now.
This guy's trying to upsell me on a Neo hookah.
They won't let you in the club without Neo Capri pants. Anyway, have gotten anywhere. We must return. These thugs are making an old man eat a caterpillar. And Saisaichi sees them and goes, hey, knock it out, or we're going to fight. And then, wouldn't you know it, he beats them all up because he's the heir of the Shaolin Temple. And I did enjoy this. I enjoyed watching Street Justice.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was
moving
good.
On.
Plus one for this.
We have to get somewhere.
So Saisaichi's beating them up, and the young girl's like, wow. And the old man who they saved, and he owns the restaurant, he's like, I have arthritis, and I have to close my shop due to my terrible disease. And Saisaichi says, no problem. I'll run this restaurant like Tom Cruise in Cocktail. And then him and the girl, who are both 12 or 13 years old, just run a restaurant in Hong Kong together.
Yeah, they just have some
and
fun.
And serve all the patrons, and he's wearing cool glasses. I think he gets a new outfit, and he's like flipping rice in the air and shit.
Yeah, this is a like 12 or 13-year-old kid who is like on his own in a new city having fun, and he chooses to just fuck around at a restaurant.
There are no food bureaus of any kind in the future. No one to say, like, no, you need to have a license or work here.
Yeah.
Also, in a Western TV show, this would be like a major subplot. Like, this would be, most of the episode would be about him working in the restaurant. Where right. this, you see this shot, and I think maybe one more, but it's really not even in the kid's top 10 things he's dealing with right now.
It's just like weird filler that they're just like, yeah, we'll fill time with him working at a restaurant.
Cannot emphasize enough how shoehorned in the restaurant subplot is. So he's flipping rice, and then all the crowd loves him, and so he leaves for the day with the girl, and she goes, wow, you did such amazing fighting and cooking. What's your name? And then he's like, I can't tell her my name, because then she'll know I'm the fighter from Neo China. So he goes, Chicoline. And even in this show, she's like, that's not a name.
Yeah,
and
then she's like, that sounds like a fake.
And then he's like, yeah, Chicoline. And I hear a foghorn a calling. And then you hear foghorn go, ooh. And then you know what that means. I don't, but they do. And so they decide to leave, and they make a date to come back tomorrow and run the restaurant again. And funky Japanese rap plays.
Yeah, really weird. Like, it's one of those times where you're like, this must be like a song that people know or something.
Well, if you listen to like rap in Japan now, it like really bites American rap, and it like does like all the like crazy like new styles we have going on over here. Like, this is much more Japanese rapping than you get anymore. It's like half chant. It's really crazy. So there, he's having the time of his life, and he's in love with this young girl, and she goes home, and you see, wouldn't you know it, she is the sister of the hated mermaid Gundam. Two families at war. Can there ever be love? I hope it works out.
Whatever.
I got a lot invested in this. I need this to pan out. The monks, by the way, they're fretting that Saisaichi is abandoning them and their lifestyle, while it cuts to him skipping through Hong Kong with In Love music, and like big hearts keep showing up on the screen. And then they talk again, and then she's like, I'm an orphan. He's like, I'm an orphan. And she's like, we're in love. This is us being raised without a father.
But how can he attract her without seeing his father overwhelm his mother with strength?
He has a hard time, and that's kind of what the episode's about.
Yeah.
So we find out her name is Cecil. There's nothing funny about that. It's Cecil and Chicoline, the hot young couple. And
this is how you know it's going to last for more than an episode. They were like, we got to give her a momentous, it's going to be a memorable character we're all going to come back to. Cecil.
Yeah. You're probably turning and looking at your Cecil Funko Pop right now and saying, this was the beginning. It all started here.
Saying these idiots on this podcast don't know what you and I know, Cecil.
Well, that year it triggered like a wave of like Cecil was the most popular girl's name after this episode.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Chicklee right. was the most popular boy's name.
Everyone in Neo Denmark was named Cecil. Everyone born in 95. So she's cooking at this restaurant and he's like wearing a new hot look, and then her brother, the mermaid Gundam pilot, comes in and he's like, "Hey, that's no Chikoline. That's Saisaichi, the hated Gundam pilot." And then Saisaichi knocks over 100 bowls and runs out of the restaurant, which is like, I'm not sure you're doing this old man a favor anymore. It's kind of a lot
no,
of stuff.
No, it seems like you've left him a lot of trouble, actually.
I don't know if the net profit here works out you destroying a table worth of stuff.
It would be the greatest day of my life, like, if I were just eating at a restaurant, and all of a sudden I just see the owner, who is 12 years old, bail from the place inexplicably.
Discovered as an Olympian and run for his life. Hey, Chicoline's not a real name. So he's out and he's being gloomy by the pier. The Gundam fight's about to start. It's the day of the Gundam fight, and none of his friends can find him, and they're worried about him. So Cecil shows up and finds him at the pier, and she slaps him in the face. How could you not go to your Gundam fight to fight my brother? Don't you know that all we want is to fight China to the death? Can't you? No one thinks we'll win because of our secretly damaged Gundam that somehow everyone knows about. And yeah, he's like, "All right, yeah, okay, shit, okay, okay, yeah, sounds good."
Yep.
But wouldn't you know it, the thugs from earlier have come back. And they're all in construction Gundams or something.
Yeah, what the fuck was that about? Where did they all get Gundams from?
This one scene seems as if it counter, like, acts the entire plot of the show, which is that every nation has one Gundam. There are just three run-of-the-mill Gundams now. Street thugs have. And
well,
they have,
street
like,
thugs constitute their own nation with their own laws. They're like the Roma. They just like they don't have a physical land, but they're everywhere on Earth.
Yeah,
they represent the nation of crime.
But the best part is that the Gundams that they have are like topless. They just have like convertible Gundams.
That's what I'm saying. They look like they're like a cat, you know, like they're like a forklift, but in Gundam land. And so, yep, they gotta fucking go. They gotta throw down. And it's time to fight.
The Union got us some Gundams.
They're here to rough up that Saisaichi. Not so tough now without your Gundam, are you, little brat? But who pulls up but Domon, our friend? And he's in his Corelander, which we know all about from the first 24 episodes of the show, where they explained the rules of it meticulously for no reason. And he says, "Hey, Saisaichi, I will fight the gangsters, and you go do the Gundam match." And then everyone pauses and bows. Cecil bows, Saisaichi bows. Anyone off the street in this situation would know to bow. So it's time for the thugs to fight Burning Gundam, and they're running around him in a circle. Burning Gundam pops out of the lake real quick, because you're worried, like, is Domon going to fight them barehanded, as we've seen him do before? No. With the Gundam. They're pretty thrown off by the Gundam, but they're like, "Fellas, we gotta represent criminals correctly. Let's do a jet stream attack." And I liked that they had a special move. I did not expect that of them. They run in circles really fast around Domon. And then Domon, in super mode, like shining gold, his hair floating in the air, sticks his foot out.
Yeah.
And then they all fall on his foot.
Yeah, they do like a Three Stooges, like, whoop, 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 whoop,
whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop. Wow, we messed up murdering that kid. Ah, yang, 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 yang. We defeated by the honorable Japanese once more, Ayada.
That's my favorite Three Stooges, is when they get defeated by the honorable Japanese.
As they always do.
And then they have to, like, get rid of Curly Joe. So it's like, in the future, it's Larry, Moe, and Akira.
Who is not foolish at all, by the way.
No, 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 no. It's Akira
the
Joe.
The most adept one.
Larry, Moe, and Akira Joe.
Wait, it's Akira... It's like it's actually a Saiyan, but they're still fighting the way they do in the Three Stooges, but it's like really fast. So
yeah,
he just like
pokes
both
their arms
eyes
are
out.
Blurs as they poke each other's eyes. So back to the arena. Sai Saichi's almost out of time, and wouldn't you know it, 1,000 monks from Neo China have come to see him fight from the Shaolin Temple, and they're being interviewed by the hostess. They're like, how do you feel that Sai Saichi's gonna miss his match and be disqualified? And they all weep. They weep for their nation. And it's like a slapstick thing, but you know, it's also like, that's a lot of old men you're making cry there, pal.
I still love the Neo locations. I got chlamydia from a chick in Neo Hoboken, so I can't come to the tournament tonight.
I had to ride the Neo path, and there was someone shaving. These are getting very New York regional. Neo New York. Okay, so Sai Saichi shows up to the fight, and he talks to the Mermaid Gundam pilot, and he says that there will be no mercy just because of the great friendship Sai Saichi has with Cecil. Sai Saichi agrees. He says this is a war without mercy. Denmark versus China, the oldest rivalry there is. Ready, go. And they both have spears, and there's kind of like a spear fight for a second, and Mermaid Gundam's poking at the Dragon Gundam, and... they're poking and poking and poking, but then he lands, he throws himself into the air. Also, it really seems like Dragon Gundam's holding back. Like, he's afraid to really go ham on this honky. But Mermaid Gundam, wouldn't you know it, he spears the ground and makes a water tornado. He pulls Dragon Gundam into the water tornado. Now they're fighting in the lake. And this is a question I had.
Mm-hmm.
If they're fighting in a big square ring above a lake... doesn't it imply, if you go in the lake, that is a disqualification?
I don't know how it works with ring outs. I don't understand how the tournament overall works, because they're like, they're watching the fight between, they're watching the fight between the Mermaid and the Toro Gundams, and they're like, that's Mermaid Gundam, your next opponent. And you're like, but what if he loses this? How does that work?
No, yeah, it is.
What does that do?
We can't leave unless Denmark fights China, the old rivalry. All right, so now he's underwater, and this is interesting. Mermaid Gundam's head and legs and arms pull in, so he's just a fish now.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's a fish, that's when you're in trouble, mister, because he's the most powerful he's ever been. He's got, like, lasers coming out of his eyes, and he's just slamming his fish body into the Gundam. It's getting juggled through the water.
It's also revealed that the reason he took so much damage on land is that the Gundam was not built to battle on land. He was supposed to be a fish Gundam.
As
if nobody
sent
them the rules.
They built a fully operational fish Gundam, then found out and built it some legs, and were like, this works. Send it out. Boy. So he's done toying with Sai Saichi, who has not fought back at all, and he's like, I'm going to finish ya, and he puts him in a big net. Because it's, you know, pathos that a fish would use its own net. And so Sai Saichi, it really seems like things are over for him. This will be the last time you see him, beloved character Sai Saichi. Your favorite character from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom 2, Sai Saichi. It kind of cuts away, and there's like a kerfuffle, and Mermaid Gundam thinks that he sees Sai Saichi buried in the sand under the water because he sees an arm sticking out. And he goes, I've got you. And he goes to jump on him and spear him. But actually, Dragon Gundam had ripped off his own arm. And it was a trap. A sneaky not Chinese trap, but a dragon trap that any nation could do. And that allows him to jump out of the other part of the sand and spear Denmark through the face with incredible resolve. And they have a whole conversation about, like, that was pretty sneaky. You gotta admit it.
But it wasn't. It had nothing to do.
It was sneaky in an ambiguously racial way. And Saisaichi explains, he's like, yeah, I actually decided we were in a war without mercy and that I would defeat you at any cost.
Yeah, dude. So remember a couple episodes ago, Domo, like, broke his arm off or whatever to, like, escape from something?
Yeah, he does like that.
But, like, when Domo did that, he had to actually dislocate his real-life arm in order to dislocate the Gundam's arm.
Yeah, Saisaichi does not have to do that, actually.
It's just a weird quirk of the, not the Zero system, but whatever.
The dragon system.
The super mode.
How could the old riddle, what is the cost of a dragon that loses its arms?
You're right, there were some technical inconsistencies in this robot mermaid fighting show. They really overlooked.
Needless to say, that is a clear victory for China, the oldest nation, and the best. And so Denmark has to eat shit and leave the country, and we get this beautiful scene where Cecil and Saisaichi are at the airport. And he goes, sorry, I beat your brother so badly in a way that disgraced your nation. And then she's like, it's fine. All right. You'll never see me again. And she gets on a plane. And that's kind of it, pretty much.
That's it,
right?
For the episode, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Saisaichi
episode.
Well,
I do like how at the end, when Saisaichi wins, he just, like, stabs the mermaid through, like, the glass porthole that, like, would effectively make him drown.
You'd think so, David, actually, but this shows your ignorance because the cockpit is in the tummy. It's at the center of the fish,
you
David.
Fucking idiot.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize we were having a baby on the show. I didn't know. Basic Gundam anatomy. That should have flooded the cockpit.
Yeah, you guys can't see this because we're not doing a visual podcast, but David has, like, a big novelty diaper on, like, one of those, like, funny, like, it's got, like, a huge safety pin on the front, and he's, like, got a rattle. And
when I told him that the cockpit's in another place, he pooped it, and he went, oh, and he ran away. He threw down his mic and went to go, and then
he's
came
got one
back,
of those, like,
covered in brown.
He's this got is, one of those, like, is, bonnets on.
This is a gross distortion. I began the podcast wearing the diaper, but after I heard Jared Trueheart, I took off the diaper and put on my man pantaloons.
My man
pantaloons. Shit.
Yeah, I never potty trained, but
that's beside the point. It has nothing to do with my parents being divorced.
Let's review the show and get out of here, shall we?
All right.
Okay, out of 7 Dragon Balls, what are we giving episode 29, A Mobile Fighter G Gundam Running Away, Saisaichi in Love, starting with Jeremy?
I give it 4 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
That seems fair.
Pretty fair.
All right.
I was going to do it at the beginning, but I thought maybe the time had passed.
Oh, the time? It's still the 90s in my mind, my
little
friend.
Little did I know. You can keep doing it.
David,
4 out of 7 Dragon Balls. Come on, David.
Do the voice, David.
David.
Dude, you gotta,
we gotta end the episode, all right, David.
All right.
All right, I'm one of the tribe.
next year in Jerusalem. I did not have sexual relations with that chick, so.
I need a number, David, so this can all end.
I'm gonna give it 7 Dragon Balls.
No, David!
Well, I don't give it 6. I don't give it 7. I give it a standard 4 out of 7. This one episode was fucking fine. Alright, with 7 Dragon Balls collected, we must ask for a wish from the Eternal Dragon. So here he comes again. Here he is. It's a dragon.
I'm a fish this time.
Yeah, there's nothing really left to call back. We just kind of went through like all of them just there.
It's like when an album ends on a medley.
Yeah, all right, David, what's your wish for this fish?
I wish to hear...
What do you wish for this fish?
I wish to hear President McConaughey address the nation after 9/11.
All right, all right, all right. I don't mean that about what just happened. That's just how you start the impression. I don't think that 9/11 was good. I think it was bad.
My name is For Freedom.
We're gonna spend the next 30 years in the desert. You'll never know a world without war.
Much like there'll I'll never spend be. The next 30 years at the high school parking lot.
Honestly, I don't know if this bit is ever going to be better than Jewish Bill Clinton.
All right, David, well, it sounds like you got that wish. I'm saying this as a fish that is a dragon, so that's it. That's it for me. I'm swimming away.
Goodbye, fish.
Walk, walk.
How old are the listeners on this show?
Young.
All ages.
Do they so have any young. Idea who Bill Clinton is?
They'll know very well after this episode. This is a way of introducing them.
Yeah, are they like going to know Muzzy. what a spot-on perfect Bill Clinton I've been doing this entire episode? I've been batting 1,000.
This show is educational, similar to Muzzy. And now, to close the show, we will be playing the Muzzy theme song. Your favorite song. David, thank you for coming on. Do you want to plug anything or whatever?
You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, David. And now, take it away, Muzzy! Okay, great.
Hey, yo, Pete Jackson. Uh-huh, nigga, you know what it is, nigga. Check this shit out. Yo, car, hard jackets, and clocks. Hauling gold hammers, a bucket of coke in the boat, and it's organic kosher. With more notes than an octave, but dirty as Somalian water that's mad toxic. It's a cold case. When I'm in shape, and bring me your face. With no body attached, for a low rate and cooling. Yeah, drawing castles in red sand. Then I finish it off with my left hand. Bottle of scotch in the bitch. You could call me that though, Shacky nigga. Flip a teeth on the wrist. Long arms and this water, I'm a whale. Move a bird like Purdue. Listen to third grade. Bang hard, nigga, see stars. Bitch, you key cars. Stroke neck for life in Japanese bars. It's tone.
Hello, y'all.
I'm about to phone home from a Star Trek voice, nigga. Couple of red bones.
yo, yellow, get a celebrity, we are here to rub out them fasty and them iniquity and them passy. Hey yo, yellow, everybody turn the gangster lady.
Get that bread. If you wanna go get it, use it as proof.
Niggas getting money in VA.
This shit be bugged out.
Money ain't a problem.
This is for my niggas on the block. Get that bread. Real money, they should have printed with Clinton on it. Dirty bills is pussy and cocaine on it. White girl, kill your buzz, Monica. Threesomes in Whistler with Jesse and Veronica. Pack shows, A City, get that bread, Papa. 30K in Burger King bags with no whoppers. Real money, long, tall, like a tumble was. 1,000 pounds of trees, now boy, I bundle up. I done broke them down in QPs to wipe them up. Tell the officer to suck my dick, who watching us? I'm in that slow lane, doing by the buck five. Blowing on the back with baby, yo, baby, don't lie. Two doors, a red caddy is topless. Side bitch don't exist now, Loch Ness. Changed on them, I had to go get the range on them. Every neck up in my fucking click, I put them chains on them.
Hey yo, yellow, get a celebrity, we are here to rub out them fasty and them iniquity and them passy. Hey yo, yellow, everybody turn against the lady.
Get that bread.
If you wanna go get it, using that proof force.
Niggas getting money in VA.
This shit we bugged out.
Money ain't a problem.
This is for my niggas on the block. Get that bread.
Yeah.
You gotta give your all, you won't see this moment twice. You gotta understand for sure.